Health and Human Services to order, and we'll launch right into a hearing on Senate Bill 270 is our first one. Okay, Senate Bill 270.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. No.
The last Senator Carter to introduce the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senate Bill, I'll just summarize. Senate Bill 270 requires the Board of Medical Examiners Program Advisory Council to report to the Board of Medical Examiners any licensee with a chemical dependency problem who fails or does not participate in a program for chemical dependency treatment. BME, our Board of Medical Examiners, is an entity responsible for licensing, granting license, imposing disciplinary action for healthcare professionals, specifically doctors and such. The Supervisory Council is comprised of 5 members who are not on the BME board, and they're responsible for overseeing the health professionals program, which was jointly developed by the Oregon Medical Association and the BME. To act as kind of a conduit or access for chemical dependency treatment for licensees. The HPPs assist the licensees with consultation, intervention, assessment, recovery, monitoring, and related rehab services. And then licensees can access the HPPs voluntarily, or they can be referred to the HPP by the Board of Medical Examiners as part of a potential disciplinary action. Current law states right now that the Diversionary Council can only report to the BME those people who are referred from the BME to the HPP. And then the HPP reports that they are in support of this law.
Mr. Chairman, this is absolutely wonderful. We had problems dating back as much as 10 years ago. I think this is such a great strategy for helping those people who in the medical profession and might have had problems along these lines, you know, and let's as a society look at the fact, though they're professionals, all of us as human beings have frailties in our lives, and we don't just want to kick people out. What we want to do is to help them in whatever way we possibly can. So those doctors that do not go through the Board of Medical Examiners, their names don't even have to ever come up. And so I think that it is a case for consumers that this bill passes so that we can have overall consumer protection. This is great. I want to applaud the people who brought this to us.
I would thank you for your comments, and I would also note that we have a letter here that we're going to put on file of support from the Oregon Medical Association.
Oh.
Appreciate that. And I just might note here what their last sentence is, their next last sentence. It said it has proven to be a highly successful program.
Mm-hmm.
So they support also the proposed amendment and that will protect the public. So we're thankful for that. And we have any people that want to testify on this particular issue or any other comment here?
I think they want the bill, Mr. Chairman.
You know, there's one thing I might say while we're going through the rigmarole of getting someone up here to the stand, Jody Fisher and Kathleen Healy. Wish to testify. I've regretted that when we make changes like this or we allow programs like this, the fact that we don't treat all health professionals in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty shame that these can't be inclusive of, and the good things that we discover for one board, we can't carry over to another board without such a rigmarole as we have. So I'll put it on record that I don't always support this, but I wish that we could do programs like this and under circumstances for other professionals and basically any board that they're licensed by. Go ahead in whatever order you wish to.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Jody Fisher. Nan Hyman, I'm the Board of Medical Examiners, and with me today is Kathleen Healy, the Executive Director. and I will turn it over to Kathleen.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners. As so eruditely stated by Senator Carter and Mr. Bacobian, this Senate Bill 270 would close a potentially hazardous loophole in current law. Right now, the diversion program is required to report participants who fail the diversion program, but that's only if they've been referred to that program by the board. Now we want to also include those who voluntarily go into the program, that they would have to be reported to the board as well. Now, currently, they are being referred to us, but the medical director does it as a practicing physician and under her obligation that way. We want to make it clear that this program, whether there's a physician in charge of it or not, needs to be referring those who fail the program to the board. So we believe that this will continue to protect the public from any potentially impaired physicians or other health professionals under the board's purview. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, I think that would provide two things. Number one, it would relieve somebody from having to be maybe view themselves as a tattletale every single time something like this happens.
Right, right.
And would also provide for probably a secondary reason to go straight afterwards and a few things like that also. So I think that there's many merits to this.
Mm-hmm.
If there are further comments here by the question. We have a possible work session on this.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Shield.
This is a question. Do you think by closing the loophole you'll have people that try to hide longer? You know what I'm saying? Hide the problem? Well, you know, right now you I can see a scenario where somebody will say, you know, I got a problem. I'll go in voluntarily because my name is not going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, by closing the loophole, they might not so willingly come forward. I'm just asking a question.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fields, I think that's Senator Shields, I think that's a great question, and it's something that we've considered, and we considered with the diversion program as well before we brought that, but felt that the value that this gave us outweighed any of those few practitioners who, you know, people that are impaired oftentimes have many layers of excuses that will inhibit them, and this is really a technical adjustment to our program, and it's not something that I think they would even necessarily be aware of. We're thinking that it wouldn't really cut down on the numbers overall.
That's what I wanted to know.
Right. We still encourage people, and the diversion program sets those ground rules out right from the beginning with anybody voluntarily entering the program as well.
Hearing none, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 270 and open the work session on Senate Bill 270. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Shields.
I'd move Senate Bill 270 to the floor with a due pass resolution.
Senator Shields recommends Senate Bill 270 be accepted and sent to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Mesiman?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Chair Fisher?
Aye. Motion carries. Do we have someone who wishes to carry the bill? Can you make that eloquent statement on the floor like you? would you carry the bill?
Yes, I will.
Senator Carter will carry the bill. Thank you very much. Close the work session on Senate Bill 270 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 272. Will the staff give us an introduction?
Yes, thank you, Senator Fisher. Senate Bill 272 prohibits a member of the Physician Assistant Committee of the Board of Medical Examiners from serving more than two consecutive terms. Currently, there are several advisory committees to the BME, including the Physician Assistant Committee. Although a physician assistant committee they can serve in 3-year increments with no term limits, this bill would provide term limits in the other two advisory committees, both acupuncture and podiatry, have term limits as well.
Okay.
They're wanting us to see the term limits bill.
Same. few testifiers are staying solidly in position here, so go ahead and bring us your message.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners. Through Senate Bill 272, we're hoping to have the Physician Assistant Committee be limited, the membership be limited to 2 4-year terms, which would be consistent with our Acupuncture Committee and our Podiatry Committee. And the reason we're bringing this bill forward are the following reasons. One is consistency in the Medical Practice Act, because the other councils also have the term limits. Our board members have the term limits. And it encourages new people to come forward and participate from the profession. The number of schools in Oregon is now increased to 2 that train physician assistants in the state, so there are more people to draw on for committee membership. And it gives them an opportunity to learn about our board and about the committee and take it back to their community. And we consider it a very important experience. It's a learning experience and gives the board input on how to fulfill its mission as well. And we feel that it would serve the citizens of the state very well in that regard. Now, there are members who are sitting on that committee at this time, and they would continue to sit. And once the bill was put into effect, then their terms would be set by this bill. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, where's the other school? OSHU is one, obviously.
And Forest Grove.
Oh, Forest
Grove. Senator.
Mm-hmm. How many physician's assistants do we actually have in there?
I'm going to say close to 300.
I think we have 354.
Excuse me. Senator Fisher, members of the committee,
350.
It's gone up considerably in the last couple.
How many sit on the board or are used by your committee that would this 2 4-year terms would apply to?
We have 2 on that committee.
So you're not going to be running out of potential material, or I was a little concerned that if we only had 25 or something around the state, that might be a little tough to continue a program, considering that some probably wouldn't want to do it, and you might run out of qualified applicants, but it looks like you're pretty well fixed into the future.
I think we are.
Jody, did you have anything you wish? Any questions? Of the
no, Mr. Chairman, it's a good way to get rid of riffraff. No.
That's when they apply it to the legislature.
Oh, okay, fine. I got it confused.
For my part, Chair Fisher, I will do my part to help this bill by not making any wisecracks about term limits during the debate.
All right. I'll put that on record and we'll hold you to that.
I was about to say hold him to it, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You did raise a question, and I don't have the bill here, and I'm sorry that I don't have it here. But anyway, my question is, if a person has served their terms and they're now term limited out,
mm-hmm.
is there provision in the bill to bring for them to come back after a period of time? If a scenario like Bill described should occur, where all of a sudden we don't have willing applicants, is there any provision for that, or that's it? You've served?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, no, that's it. They've served then.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, we don't envision any shortage of people to serve. But we're happy with the fellows that have been serving. They've done it for a number of years, and it's kind of getting time to have some new folks.
Understand. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wait a minute. I just noticed something here, Kathleen. The term of each member of the committee says 3 years. You thought mentioned 4 years.
Oh, I apologize, Senator Fisher. That's right. It's 3 years. That's what all our other board members are, too. My notes were incorrect. It said 4 years. Sorry.
Now, when it says a member may not serve more than 2 consecutive terms, doesn't that allow for them to stay out a term and then come back and also serve?
Senator Fisher, I guess it does technically. We hadn't envisioned that happening, mainly because usually people consider it something of a time drain for them, and so they put in their time, serve the profession, and then move on and serve it in different ways.
I know I serve on several boards, and most of the boards have a limitation of how many consecutive terms can do, but very often where we have had people that serve very ably, when they have a rest period of 3 or 4 years, we try to entice them back occasionally because we have trouble filling
mm-hmm.
the positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would actually allow for this if it was necessary or deemed feasible.
Senator Fisher, I guess it would technically. We just have never had that be our experience, even though we've had the term limits for the board members ongoing.
Well, in any event, it's not something that where you're treating one group different than another.
No.
So everybody's all fair for it.
Right.
Further questions?
Hearing none, I will... Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
We have Jennifer Weber here. Oregon Society of Physicians Assistants.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Jennifer Weber, and I'm here representing the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants. And I just wanted to say for the record that we have no objections to this bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I saw the OSP, and for a minute I was tempted to say Oregon State Police. These acronyms will get us in trouble here.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. And
okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here and for your support and the support of your folks. Are you? Public hearing on Senate Bill 272 and open a work session on Senate Bill 272. And I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, so moved.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Moves that Senate Bill 272. Thank you for coming to that.
Yeah.
Move the passage of Senate Bill 272.
Okay. You wish it do pass?
With a do pass recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Carter. She stated that I move that Senate Bill 272 be sent to the Senate floor for the do pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll start call the roll.
Senator Mezzini?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, do you guys know that a great physician assistant to my district, celebrating his day in the Capitol, he died of a massive heart attack. And so we're going to, I see where Senator Gortley has entered a day for celebrating his activism. Wonderful, wonderful.
And we will expedite that bill just as fast as we can. And
thank
I would
you.
Instruct the committee administrator to get that added to, if he possibly can, one of our first appropriate time. If we can get this in Wednesday, we'll...
Thank you.
We can get it in this afternoon. I think we can hear it.
Great.
I didn't realize he was a physician assistant.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. Who wants to be a carrier? Senator George, you want to carry this one?
Convince.
All right, thank you. Senator George will carry the bill and close the work session on Senate Bill 272 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 162. And staff will give us a rundown.
Okay. Senate Bill 162 increases the allowable per diem for members of the Board of Medical Examiners, Acupuncture Advisory Committee, Advisory Council on Podiatry, and Physician Assistant Committee to the same level as BME board members. As some background, Senate Bill 265 in the 1999 regular session did increase the per diem rate for BME board members to up to $250 per day, but inadvertently did not include the same per diem for the three advisory committee members who are still held to or a statute that only allows them to collect up to $30 per day. We also have a -1 amendment, which would make this effective July 1, 2011.
Add emergency clause.
Yes.
Okay. Do you mind giving Jennifer Weber the first shot at this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, I'm Jennifer Weber, representing the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants. And again, we are in favor of this bill and appreciate the board bringing it forward. I think it's especially important to note that now that we are going to have term limits and we'll be seeking recruits to the PA committee, that having a per diem equal to that of the members of the Board of Medical Examiners will help us in doing that. And in talking with the PAs who do sit on the PA committee, they do take time from their practices and from seeing patients to attend these meetings, and so it is important to them to be compensated for that at some level. And I also wanted to note that the OSPA does appoint the two physician assistant members of the PA committee. And I wanted to let you know that when the OSP does that, they try to have two PAs who represent either different practice areas, say one who's in family practice, one who's in a specialty, or one who's from an urban area, one who's from a rural area. And so especially for those members who have to travel, you know, further distance and take a little time, that this bill will be very helpful, and we are in support of it.
Yes, Senator Shields.
Considering the $30 that they get paid, about how much would it cost a physician's assistant to go to one of these meetings?
You know, I guess, Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, maybe it would depend on how many patients, you know, were scheduled to see that day. But, you know, gosh, we all know what the escalating health care costs at $30 is, you know, depending on the reimbursement rate. From an insurance company or something, it's not a lot of compensation. Maybe one patient. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Carter.
How much do they pay for dues?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, I believe that and maybe the Ms. Haley from the BME could correct me, I'm wrong, but I believe that the initial fee that they pay every 2 years is roughly $245.
Yeah,
currently.
So it's totally out of balance, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
That the, you know, yeah, compared to the dues that they pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. You're right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and especially the fact that this was supposed to have been all taken care of last session. Somehow or another, one paragraph didn't get mentioned or inserted. So
great, we appreciate this fix.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chair.
Yes, well, excuse me, Senator Mesrilli.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious. The state has several boards and commissions and things in all different levels. How many of these boards and commissions do get paid for their time? I know, you know, there's businessmen who have to hire people to cover for them when they're gone, and is this a normal practice in all boards? I'm not aware of it, if it is, and or just in the medical examining boards, or in these?
I can't tell you. I think it's in the dental board at least. And
Mr. Chair, Senator Mesrilli, I can't answer that question specifically, and I think that might be a question that maybe the staff could answer or the different boards could look at. But I also think that the members of the committee must do the paperwork and request the reimbursement. And speaking from personal experience that I've had with other boards and commissions, you know, depending on how it goes, maybe some seek that reimbursement and some don't. So I couldn't really speak to your question specifically.
Yes, administrator has a
question. Yes, if it's specifically in statute that they are reimbursed, it usually makes reference to ORS 292.495, $30, unless otherwise directed. Mm-hmm. And this is a specific statute to raise the per diem. So it has to address that in statute, and we usually just direct them back to this particular chapter, which is that rate.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Kathleen Haley and Jody Fisher.
Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Haley. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Medical Examiners, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 162. And this bill really clears up what was a misunderstanding after the 1999 session with Senate Bill 265, in which I believe we all understood it to be an increase in per diem payments, not just for the Board of Medical Examiners members, but also for those other committees mentioned, acupuncture, podiatry, and physician assistant. And that would increase it from $30 a day to a maximum of $250 a day. This concept problem with it came to our attention through the rulemaking process, and the cost for the biennium coming would be approximately $7,000 if it is approved. We also support the Dash 1 amendments, which would add the emergency clause to make it effective July 1 of 2001. And I urge your support on this bill today, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
And actually, the money was placed there for this
right.
during this past biennium, from my understanding, so it doesn't put you in jeopardy, but you've been trying to work with this through other means. And
Senator Fisher, that's correct. We have been entering into contracts to pay, and we do it by an hourly basis. That's how we do it, because some of the committee meetings maybe last 2 or 3 hours, and we don't pay the maximum. We don't pay a whole per diem for that, whereas our board member meetings are usually lasting a couple of days, and so they would get the $250.
Also, there's a difference, too, in the situation here, because these people are the key breadwinner, basically, in their businesses. Whereas, for instance, in my profession as a nursing home administrator, my nursing home goes on making money. I'm not directly responsible for the day-to-day earning that I can be gone for a day, which doesn't affect the earning and getting paid for the services that you provide. So there's considerable difference in the donations that some people put up to attend a board meeting in comparison to what others might do a different profession.
Senator Fisher, that's an excellent point. That's true. These are individual professionals.
And you also favor the emergency clause.
That's right. Thank you.
That helps you out in the board to some extent.
Well, to get our contract in line and everything, get it moving.
To cut paperwork.
That's right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Do they pay dues yearly?
They pay, Senator Fisher... Senator Carter, they pay a registration fee every 2 years.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
For Senator Mesrilli, when you think of them paying dues in the amount of $82,320 per year, which would double that, we're talking about $165,000, every 2 years, they would only be taking out $10,000 and some odd, so the state is still making a little money.
Guess, Senator Carter, you kind of left me staggering there a little bit.
She multiplied dues times numbers.
Yeah. And I do know some people worry about, are people being charged too much for dues and that kind of stuff. But people pay dues for into membership so they can be able to enjoy carrying out the business of that particular organization. And when you think of the dues that they're paying versus the benefits they're getting back out of them, and there's no comparison.
I guess I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Other questions? Hearing none, I'll close the hearing on Senate Bill 162 and open work session on Senate Bill 162.
Mr. Chairman.
Motion. Yes, Senator
York. Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 162.
Senator George has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 162. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Administrator, is it possible to just accept that and then go ahead and vote for the bill? By voice voter, should we?
Yes.
Okay, I have normally, probably my committee has done a voice vote on most all of our decisions, but if it would speed things up. Okay, hearing no objection, so we will add Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 162. Now I would take a motion on the Senate Bill, amended Senate Bill 162.
Okay, Miss. I'm just moving on. I'm sorry.
Tie goes to the winner.
I just say so moved, Mr. Chairman. New pass recommendation.
Senator Carter has moved Senate Bill 162 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, will the staff call the roll?
Senator Mesrilli?
Aye.
Senator Shum?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator
aye. Motion carries. Do we have a carrier for this? And Senator Shields said he wouldn't say anything about the prior bill. How about us letting him carry this?
I don't think there's much punishing stuff that I can say about this.
Okay, Senator Shields will carry this bill. I have one thing that I'd like to ask the committee. Normally, in my committees, we've kind of rotated the first vote around amongst the alphabetical order of the committee, so someone doesn't always have to be the first vote on a bill. Does that matter to the committee? I'm open to suggestion.
Doesn't matter to me, Mr.
Chairman. Whatever's easy for you.
That's right. You gotta vote.
And it's probably easier just to call him off like he is right here in order of rotation, but I'd be more than happy to have us rotated around so that everybody had a chance to vote first and last occasion. All right, hearing noting a lack of apathy, or not a lack, a great apathy among the committee members, continuous practice is doing.